Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. You can find it on pages 966 and 67 in your pew Bible. Listen to the word of God. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Amen. Who likes detours? They're fun. Yeah. Nothing like a good detour to make your day complete. Yes? A few weeks ago, I had to go from my house in Scott Township over to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary for a meeting. And then just before leaving, I got a phone call on our home phone, home phone. Some people still have those. And, of course, it was perfect timing, right? I'm walking out the door, the phone rings, and it's something that I had to answer. And the phone call lasted 5 minutes, which delayed my departure just enough to nudge me into that slight state of time stress, right? I had it all calculated, right? And then this five-minute phone call. That's okay. I finished the phone call, and then I thought, well, all right, if all goes well, I should make this meeting just in time. You know how that goes. Yeah. That day, the exit ramp from Route 28 onto the Highland Park Bridge was closed. Of course. Of course, right? And so then what I had to do is I had to continue on to the next exit, was like Aspenwall or something like that, come back around and then come south on 28 and then get on the Highland Park Bridge. And, this loop back around then in order to get to the seminary, it delayed me, 5 or 7 or 8 minutes or something like that. It is amazing how stressful a five-minute delay can be, right? My hair is standing up on edge, right, at this time. And all because I was going to be late for a meeting. Next time I'll leave early. Yeah. That's what I said last time. So, our scripture today is full of detours and dreams. And so we have dreams. Life has detours. God is working in all of that. This past Tuesday on Christmas Eve, we had the glorious story of Jesus' birth. Today, we move into Matthew chapter 2. Now, the first half of Matthew 2 covers the narrative about the Magi coming to visit and worship this newborn king. And Herod gets wind of the Magi's visit to Jerusalem, and he asks them to find the child and let him know where this new Messiah is, because he wants to go and worship him too. Yeah, right. In a dream, the Magi are warned not to go back to Herod, and so they return to their home country. They go and visit Jesus, and then they just leave. And of course, that infuriates Herod. And this is where our story picks up from. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are still in Bethlehem, and that's about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And most likely they were staying at the home of relatives, maybe friends, but they had been there for a little while after the birth of Jesus. They had already traveled a good bit. First, they had walked from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is a distance of 80 miles. Mary was pregnant for that walk. Then they walked up to Jerusalem to have Jesus circumcised, and then they returned to Bethlehem. So that little round trip was another 10 miles altogether. Finally, they are getting some rest. And then an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, telling him to take his family to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. Now, right about now, I'm picturing that look that Mary gave Joseph that morning as he tells her over their morning coffee, dear, we need to walk to Egypt. If you're keeping track now, Bethlehem to Egypt is about a 60-mile hike over mountains and through barren land. And we can pretty well guess who got to carry Jesus for 60 miles. During this time in history, and the centuries leading up to it, Egypt was a frequent destination for the Jews who were seeking refuge from various invaders, such as the Assyrians, Babylonians, and Greeks. Those who were able to would make the journey for what was hoped to be a temporary relief from the suffering, you know, get out of harm's way for a while and then come back. The Romans now ruled in this land, but they had outsourced some of their regional administration to local indigenous governors such as Herod, who saw any indication of a Messiah as a threat to the status quo and their rule. Now, these homegrown rulers were just as ruthless to their own people as the Romans were, maybe worse. And so it led to their abuse of their power. Joseph and Mary most likely wanted to remain in Bethlehem for some time, maybe even make it their home. We'll never know. But God put a detour in their plans, sending them to Egypt. Now, biblical scholars estimate that at this time, covering their departure from Rome, the trip to Egypt, coming back, that Jesus was somewhere in between a six-month babe up to 2 years. So this whole trip, Jesus goes from 6 months to about 2 years. It appears that then, after this, then, what appears to Joseph in another dream, an angel of the Lord tells him to go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life, that would be Herod, are dead. But there's a problem. Herod's son, Archelaus, has taken his father's place in Judea, where Bethlehem is, and he's just as ruthless as his father. In fact, he may even be worse. Now, in a third dream, Joseph is warned about this, and so the family is detoured again to Nazareth, much farther north from Jerusalem. That's a 105-mile walk from Egypt to Nazareth, a roundabout route to avoid the territory that Archelaus is ruling over. So imagine a triangle. We've got from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, a little trip up to Jerusalem, and then Bethlehem over to Egypt, and then Egypt back to Nazareth. This is covering 255 miles on foot. And during this, Mary is pregnant and carrying Jesus. And to think I got stressed out about a five-minute delay for a meeting. Thankfully, I'm not walking 255 miles to avoid murder. There's something interesting in all of this. So as I read about Joseph and Mary, and of course, Jesus is the central part of this, we need not curse detours. I cursed the Highland Park Bridge exit being closed. But we need not curse such detours or get angry at all of this. Detours are part of God's plan. In fact, they are a blessing. They can be a blessing. Whatever plans Joseph and Mary had for themselves, and especially for Jesus, well, God's detours altered those plans. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. How do we deal with the detours in our life? Cheerful acceptance? We may be tempted to think that it would be simple and we would understand everything if we had dreams like Joseph, in which an angel of the Lord told us what to do, right? I would deal with all these detours and changes if I would just have dreams and an angel of the Lord came to me at night and told me what was going on. But would it be so simple? Would I believe like Joseph? Would I be obedient like Mary when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her about the baby she would have? Okay, here's a test. If all of us had a dream tonight and an angel of the Lord visited us in the dream and told each one of us what to do, what percentage would do exactly that? It's one thing to seek an answer, okay, about buying a house or maybe taking a particular job, right? We want an answer like that. We would like an angel of the Lord to come to us in a dream and say, yes, take that job, don't take that job. But it's another thing then, if we have a dream tonight and an angel of the Lord comes to Jim and says, I want you to move to India and serve the poor. Right? That might be a little bit more challenging for all of us. In hindsight, we can look back on Joseph and say, oh, he was obedient. What would we do? So that's, and so what I'm getting at here is it's not really about having dreams and angels telling us what to do. But rather, it's about our faith and trust in God, about reading Scripture and praying, and over time developing a mind of Christ that guides us through these detours and having faith that God is working through them. The detours that God put on Joseph and Mary's road for the protection of Jesus were physical detours, steering them in the right direction. Physical detours can be somewhat easily identified. Hey, this road is blocked. You have to go that way. Other physical detours may be things like an illness or injury that changes the way we navigate our surroundings. My parents aged, and their split-level home, which required using stairs for almost everything, became a detour. God is with us as we change course. God is working in that. There are other types of detours that we experience where God is also working. I've identified three or four here. The first I thought of was intellectual detours. Our world is constantly changing. The things I thought I knew, I don't really know as well anymore. After living in Taiwan for 14 years, I moved back to America, and one of the first impressions I had was, what happened to my country? And subsequently, I don't like this. Now, it's not like I don't like America anymore, it's just the change. Things had changed so much that I encountered an intellectual detour. This required me to rethink many of the things that I had taken for granted. This is nothing new. Jesus did that. He came and detoured his followers' thinking. Think of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great example of this. Jesus offering a new way to see the world. Or how about love your enemies? Talk about a detour. We have a choice in this. Now, I can drive right through the intellectual detours that God presents and stick to my ways, or I can follow Jesus' detour and think about others in the world as he wants me to. We have emotional detours. We all have times in our life when things happen that shake our faith in others and leave us emotionally damaged. Relationships rupture or end. Disagreements morph into deep anger and resentment. Something happens that causes great sadness or confusion. We're going along fine, and then suddenly there's a giant sinkhole in the road ahead, causing an emotional detour. God is there, going through it with us. I think of Jesus weeping over the death of Lazarus, his frustration with the disciples sleeping that night in the garden, or the sadness he may have felt over Peter's denials. Jesus was fully God and fully human, and the human part suffered emotional detours just like us. We need to remember that during our emotional detours, Jesus is there with us in the long dark night. One of the alternate routes that Jesus offers to us during these times is service to others. By serving others and utilizing the fruits of the Spirit, during our own down times, we may lift up others, which does lift up us up also and glorifies God. It changes our focus. Like, I find myself in this when I have an emotional detour. I have to get out of my head. And the easiest way for me to do that is to help others and serve others. The next detour I thought of was there are career and financial detours, which seem to happen quite frequently in our world today. Companies go bankrupt. Traditional industries fade, layoffs occur, pension funds disappear, or our skills and abilities are no longer desired. These career and financial detours can throw us for a loop. Where is God in this? First, I think of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. Paul also wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon while he was imprisoned in Rome. Now, nobody would ever model their career after Paul. Yet here we are, reading his writings 2,000 years later. Paul had several career detours, far more than I'll ever had. Now, this is not to trivialize any disruptions we suffer today, but Paul's circuitous career does illustrate God's mysterious ways of operating in our life. Maybe, just maybe, God puts a detour like this in our life because he doesn't want us putting any more time and energy into what we had been doing. And he wants to channel us in a different direction, regardless of our age. And are we listening for that whisper? Now, when I went to Taiwan, it was for 1 year. I stayed for 14. Kind of like Jacob working for Laban in Genesis. Talk about a detour. And then when I returned to Pittsburgh in October of 2016, a little bit over 3 years ago, going to seminary was not in my plans. I was going to go work in media or corporate training. I was not thinking of seminary. Now, here I am, age 58, nearing the end of seminary and heading into ministry. Even within that detour, I had a detour. I had a detour within a detour. This past summer, I was studying Hebrew,
which is a requirement for PCUSA and their Masters of Divinity program. And I had to cancel Hebrew after a week due to the death of my mother and my father's dementia and in having to deal with that and some other issues, which then delayed my graduation. So my detour then, I had a plan for a graduation and moving into working, and that has been detoured. And I'm very anxious about that. You know, my anxiety ratcheted up. And then I thought, wow, as I was even preparing this today, I thought, what is that all about? What's that anxiety about? That is me wrestling with my faith and trusting God in this. There's a reason God has put a detour in my detour. There is a reason, because God will guide me to where I need to be, and I have to accept that. So instead of getting angry and complaining about things not being fair or right or people doing certain things, I have to look at this and say, wow, this is God at work in this for some reason. Anyway, all of these detours, there's no way I could plan this. There is no way I could plan it. That was God's career detour gift to me. We can remember God's promise in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The last detour I will mention is a spiritual detour, which is our greatest test, and also, if we give it space, God's greatest triumph. The book of Job is an entire examination of spiritual detour, so it might be a good read when we struggle with our faith. For us, things can happen that knock us off our spiritual road. There's a serious accident or illness, a marriage ends, or a loved one dies. And this kind of detour can derail our faith. We have a choice in this: go our own way or go God's way. Some people do choose to walk away. And for them, I pray. I pray that they come back. One of my neighbors, Lou, lost his adult son to an overdose 2 years ago, and Lou stopped going to church. It's one of these interesting things in our modern neighborhoods today. Lou had lived in our neighborhood for 25 years, and I had never met him. Now, I had been away for many, many years, but I would come back and visit my parents. And I thought, I knew about his son dying, and I thought, I need to stop down and just go talk to this guy. I just want to go talk to him. And I'm glad I did. And I've continued having conversations with him, but as I've observed in our neighborhood, Lou doesn't talk to anybody. And unfortunately, that's quite common in our world today. He's lonely. He stopped going to church. It was his hour of power. I've been encouraging him to go back to church, to get back there, not because he went to a Catholic church, not because his priest has all the answers, not because here at church the Carl or Bob or even I have any magical answers that will make things right, but because God works through you. The Holy Spirit works through you. You are the church. You are Christ's representatives here on earth. Each one of you does your own little and sometimes big thing to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth, here, now. And so we went, and so when we hit a spiritual detour, and most of us will, not only can we pray, read scripture, and petition God, but we can reach out to this Christian community, this Christian family, to head us in the right direction. These are my brothers and sisters. An angel of the Lord told Joseph and Mary when and where to take Jesus for safe passage. You, this community, the members and body of Christ, along with God and the Holy Spirit, can help each other to safe passage through the detours of life. Amen.